You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC, a Football Friday, even without a football game on the horizon for the first time in a very long time here on Sports Grid Radio. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. So, Scott, no game to preview this upcoming weekend, either in college football or the NFL, 5 days after Super Bowl Sunday, in the early goings of the offseason, already starting to make their way around the NFL. Some contract news to get to in the Pacific Northwest for the Seattle Seahawks. Some contract news and cap space to get to for the Chicago Bears, who I think you can make the argument might own the offseason depending on how they play it. All of that and more here on FFC.
Yeah, it also explains why, right, taking the ball or not taking the ball is still a hot topic of the conversation. Yep. with the Super Bowl, which really, Ben, I don't know how you feel about that. I was critical of that originally, and I still am, but I don't think it's that egregious a mistake like they're making out to it to be. You know, this was a great Super Bowl, great finish and everything else, but the media and the public, they need to latch on to something, and I just honestly don't think it was that big a deal. I wouldn't have done it, but I don't think it's that egregious. There's not a Dan Campbell mistake, but you know, that's the other thing that people are talking about now, you know, 5 days later. You know, should they have taken a ball or should they have taken a football rather than how great Kansas City was and how great Pat Mahomes are. Maybe we're tired of Patrick Mahomes, not necessarily tired of him, but just we know he's good. You know, there's no longer a debate on how good he is. The guy's the best quarterback in the NFL. So but it is the NFL, and we'll always be talking about it.
Yeah, absolutely so. It is going to be a conversation. It will remain a conversation. It will certainly be a conversation that plagues the San Francisco 49ers moving forward, and it will be one that we all remember next season by the time we reach the playoffs as well. As we welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience on Sirius XM, channel 159. 159 is the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. It's a Football Friday on Football Full Circle. He's Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. And Scott, I do think it was a critical mistake. Not so much the philosophy, I think, can be argued either way. I do think there are merits to getting the football first, even in the updated rule. I do believe deciding to kick the football to the other team, deferring, if you will, and electing to receive the football second is probably the proper way of doing it, as Andy Reid explained, even because, as Kyle Shanahan said way after the fact, that they wanted the football third, not first, not second, but third, that if both teams scored and it got to a third possession in overtime, San Francisco could win it outright, sudden death, if you will, with another score. As Andy Reid explained it, the reason he sees the merits and the benefits of getting the football second is because even if the team scores a touchdown on their opening offensive drive, you know you have to match that. You know that if you do match that, that you can go for two, and thus you keep all the agency with your own club, and that is your sudden death. That one play from the 2-yard line, don't let it get to a third offensive possession, a second offensive possession for that other team. You decide the fate of the game right then, right there, with your best play, trying to convert that 2-point attempt. That, I think, is the merit, Scott, in getting the ball second. My biggest issue with San Francisco, with Kyle Shanahan, was how open his players were in admitting they had no idea the rules were different in the postseason. That was caught on the hot mics as NFL Films was following everything last Sunday in Las Vegas for Super Bowl 58, as they shared with the raw honesty immediately following a Super Bowl defeat. So Kyle Shanahan, Scott, can say they wanted to get the ball first because then they could get it third and win the game in a sudden death format. To me, there wasn't really a strategy, and at least that was not properly communicated to his team. So if there was no plan of attack really in place, it doesn't matter what Shanahan says is the merits of what he decided to do.
Yeah. You know, to me, Ben, it's the big picture, right? I think we all, as I did, envision the San Francisco machine, you know, almost as a, you know, the old Albert Pujols commercial, right, on the four-letter network. You know, it's a machine. You know, it's not a real person. And that's, to me, is how kind of San Francisco was viewed. You know, it's just they do everything right, the right way and everything else, right? But now we got a defensive player, their best defensive player, saying, well, you know, we really weren't prepared for Patrick Mahomes. Now we have other offensive players saying, well, we really didn't know the overtime rules. Now we have the overtime, you know, the head coach making a mistake in taking, you know, the ball first, which I do think ultimately, I agree with you, was a mistake. I don't think it was crazy. And then afterwards, you know, we had Kyle Shanahan explaining why he did it. And originally he said what you just said, you know, we get the ball the third time, we get a chance to win the football game. And I'll argue that, but okay. You know, if that's how you feel, okay. Right. But then later on, he said, well, with the analytics that said this and said that, and they suggested that we get the ball first. And I wonder if the analytics really considered the four down system that now you're handing Patrick Mahomes. And then he also said his team was tired, Ben. And I'm saying to myself, well, Kansas City just went on an 11-play drive and our guys on defense were tired. And I'm thinking, wait a minute now, hold it. You just scored with a minute 54 left. Kansas City did go on an 11-play drive, but it wasn't an 11-play, 8-minute drive, 5 yards in a cloud of dust, you know, the old 60-70 Green Bay Packers. It was a fast drive. And I looked it up. They had 6 stoppages of play, whether a timeout, incomplete pass, or someone running out of bounds in that a minute 53 sequence. Plus, you had to have Kansas City kick off because they scored with 10 seconds left. Plus, you had the offense have to go on the field and take a knee. Plus, you had to go to 4 or 5 minutes of commercials. Plus, you also had now have the coin toss to see who's getting the ball first in overtime. So your defense had a legitimate, an absolute, at least 10 minutes of actual time to rest. So, you know, again, it goes back to if you just stuck to your guns and said, you know what, I wanted the ball first and third. You're in an NFL fantasy draft. Do you want the second overall pick or do you want the first and third? I'll take the first and third. It's all the excuses that don't make any sense to cover their butt that I have an issue with.
And that's the issue too, Scott, right? It's not even excuse. I mean, it was from Kyle Shanahan. But when you have one of your leaders, a known smart guy in the Harvard-educated football player, Kyle Juszczyk, openly admitting, and not to his fault necessarily, that he shared this information and didn't keep it close to the chest, but that it was well known they didn't have a plan, where the Chiefs and Justin Reed shared that each and every week we went through the proper procedures and protocols and what we were going to do if the game's conclusion reached an overtime session. We knew exactly. It was practiced down to the exact tee. That is what separates a team that has won 3 Super Bowls in the last 5 years and a team that has played in 2 of those 3 Super Bowl victories for Kansas City and blown a 10-point lead in each of those 2 games. So that's the difference, right? Where I think there's a narrative on Kyle Shanahan. He can't win the big game. He gives up opportunity after opportunity. And some of that is narrative, maybe conjecture. Each and every year, things are different. But then you have these very pointed examples, Scott, of where he lacks a little bit of that coaching acumen to make sure that to win at the highest level in the National Football League, that is incredibly, incredibly difficult. To win a Super Bowl championship, you need to be meticulous about every single detail. And it turns out Kyle Shanahan wasn't.
Yeah, and if he just would have come out and said, you know what, you're right, Kansas City's got 4 downs, but you know what, Kansas City had scored 1 touchdown the whole game. So we didn't think at worst they would score a touchdown. We thought at worst they'd kick a field goal, and now we win the game with our field goal. You know, optics, you got to be able to handle the media, and I thought he did a horrible job after the game.
Yeah, me as well. We will get to some of that contract news around the National Football League and what is in store this offseason in the NFL. That's next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. Some contract news to get to, but some breaking news, which is interesting to say at this stage of the NFL calendar. Just coming out in the last 15 minutes or so, Scott, Jimmy Garoppolo. Yes, Raiders quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, who was benched to end out this year, dealt with injuries. It was the rookie out of Purdue, Aiden O'Connell's show, is being suspended 2 games for a violation of the NFL's performance-enhancing substances policy. This policy violation is related to him using a prescribed medication without having a valid therapeutic use exemption. That is the report from ESPN's Adam Schefter. Jimmy Garoppolo not expected to be back in Las Vegas with this Raiders franchise moving forward, and wherever and if ever he ends up at a different NFL organization, Scott, he will be suspended for 2 games next year.
Yeah, what's weird about that is that according to the story here on a four-letter network, he's not going to appeal the suspension, whereas on the outset, you know, every suspension's appealed. I mean, you could be like caught red-handed. I'm no matter what it is, I'm going to appeal, right? But he's not going to, and it seems like it's an innocent mistake. I mean, I don't know how a guy who's been in the league as long as Jimmy G has been didn't necessarily get permission. In essence, what they're saying, it's not what he took, it's the procedure in which he took it. I don't know why he wouldn't appeal that. I don't, you know, he's had so many injuries, so I don't doubt he probably took a little extra something to overcome those injuries, but you know, he probably won't be with the Raiders. I don't know if that would necessarily, you know, say to a team, okay, we're not going to sign Jimmy G because he's going to miss the first 2 games, but it is a, you know, a little bit of a consideration, I would think.
Yeah, you would think so. Again, the time in Las Vegas, despite signing a large contract last offseason, did not really work out for Jimmy Garoppolo. Dealt with some injuries, was inefficient really when he was out there. The pairing with Devontae Adams wasn't the prolific start to Jimmy Garoppolo's tenure in Las Vegas. The Raiders probably hoped. A lot of changes, of course, coming for this Raiders franchise last year and what will be in 2024. Josh McDaniels fired. It was the pairing between Jimmy G and his former OC in New England that had some people optimistic that Jimmy Garoppolo would have success in the desert. That, of course, did not pan out. Josh McDaniels fired on Halloween. Antonio Pierce takes over as the interim, makes the Raiders a competitive and feisty team, gets named the permanent head coach entering next year. I don't think Aiden O'Connell is really the answer. I think Aiden O'Connell is going to have a long career in the NFL as a backup, as he put on display, but I don't believe he'll be the starting quarterback week number one for the Raiders. If he is, something has gone awry in Las Vegas. I would expect Las Vegas to be heavily invested in any potential free agents out there, and maybe early on in the 2024 NFL draft, where I think there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks that go in that opening round. Scott, what do you think is next for the Raiders at the QB spot?
That's a good one. You know, you look at all the teams that need quarterbacks or have quarterback issues, you know, that they all seem to a certain extent, have some out. You know, Chicago, if they don't believe in Justin Fields, well, they get the first overall pick. You know, Minnesota needs a quarterback, but they clearly would have the inside track to re-signing you know, Kirk Cousins. You know, seemingly all these teams have a little bit of an out or a quarterback that showed at least some promise, you know, with Sam Howell with the Washington Commanders. You know, whereas the Raiders with Aiden O'Connell, listen, he was terrific in the preseason. He showed some signs of showing a little, you know, yeah, like he could be an NFL quarterback. But do you really want to – listen, it's not like three, four, you know, decades ago where you had a couple of, you know, quarterbacks and GMs to be able to say, okay, I'm a good head coach or I'm a good GM. You don't get that anymore. You basically get one quarterback in a lot of spots. And so these new head coaches and the new regime with the Raiders really want to put their job on the line for Aiden O'Connell? I kind of doubt it. But they're in the middle of the pack as far as draft-wise goes, right? They don't have a top-five pick. It's not like they're all set. They can get one of these these big guys. Maybe they make a monster trade. You know, they still got their running back to worry about. So they're in a tough spot, but I don't think it's going to be Aiden O'Connell next year. I don't. Whether it's make a strong run for Kirk Cousins.
Right.
Well, Kirk Cousins, Ben, he's going to get a ton of money. You know, yeah. I'm not a big Kirk Cousins fan, but, man, there are so many teams that think that maybe Cousins can take them over the top, or just, you know, they want to bring a veteran in. He's going to get $50 million a year. You mark it down. He will be the highest paid player in the NFL when he signs his contract.
Yeah, I think he'll be right there. Right there around that $50 million mark. We have seen the large contracts, of course, that have been given out the last few off seasons. Daniel Jones is kind of that floor now, 40 mil for the Giants quarterback, but Lamar Jackson more than $52 million, 52 and a half for Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow blowing past all of that as well. I think we are going to see some really large figures for Kirk Cousins, who is going to be a very hot commodity. Scott, the Raiders draft 13th overall in the opening round of the 2024 NFL draft. They would have to, you would think, maybe reach for a quarterback, because the top three quarterback choices, at least as I see it, as the odds makers see it, Caleb Williams, far and away number one, Drake May, and then the Heisman winner from 2023 at LSU, Jaden Daniels. I think they go 1, 2, 3, and in that specific order, I don't think somebody falls all the way to Las Vegas, so if they want to move up, go ahead. But there's a couple of teams in front of them that could also use a quarterback of the future. What are the Giants going to do sixth overall? I don't think it's a quarterback, but I guess we will wait and see. Arizona could be in play, but I think Kyler Murray is probably remaining there. The Atlanta Falcons at eighth overall, the Minnesota Vikings at 11th, the Broncos right ahead of the Raiders, and of course divisional foes at 12th overall. There's a lot of teams that could be in the quarterback market, Scott, in the draft that will need to answer quarterback questions moving forward this offseason. When you look at the 32 NFL teams, and who is comfortable with their quarterback? What would you say? About half of the league? I'm looking at the AFC right now. Buffalo is good. Miami's good. The New York Jets for next year, they're good with Aaron Rodgers. The Patriots, who draft third overall, are making a move, I would believe. The Ravens set. The Bengals set. The Browns, whether they like it or not, are set. The Steelers, we'll see. But Kenny Pickett will probably be that week one starter, you would believe, in Pittsburgh. Texans good. Colts good. Jags good. Titans probably good with Will Levis. Broncos have to answer a question. The Chiefs obviously are good. The Chargers are obviously good. And the Raiders have to answer a question. That's just the AFC, Scott. So as I just kind of tallied that up in the AFC, you've got 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 if you want to add in the Steelers, but 3 teams for sure that will have to address the quarterback position this upcoming offseason, either via the draft, and all 3 of those teams we mentioned, Pats, Broncos, Raiders, draft in the top 13 picks, or via free agency with a guy like Kirk Cousins, with a Russell Wilson, whatever ends up happening.
Yeah, and you're looking for the Raiders standpoint. Boy, you're in a division in which you have Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. You know, are you going to go out there really with a straight face and say, all right, my guy's Aiden O'Connell? You know, you can't do that. The question is, Ben, you know, you're looking at an RG3 type of trade. If the Bears said, okay, we do believe in Justin Fields, so the first pick overall is up for grabs. Boy, you talk about a boatload they could get for that pick. I think they're going to use it. I think they're going to take Williams out of USC. The question really now is, for all these other teams that you mentioned, even in the NFC, do you buy into Justin Fields? You know, can you turn him around and make him a winning quarterback? That's the question. He's available. You know, it probably wouldn't take much more than your first round pick. And I do believe they'll get a first round pick for him. I know there's been some debate on that. I don't like him. I don't think he's an NFL quarterback, but is it, okay, I got the 13th, 15th, 20th pick overall. Am I going to be able to get a quarterback, or do I want Justin Fields? That's the question all these teams have.
Yeah, for sure. And the Bears have those 2 top 10 picks. First overall at the moment, that's courtesy of the Carolina Panthers, their own pick at 9th overall. The Chicago Bears, as we'll get to in just a little bit, Scott, probably as we're coming up on the break, really have an opportunity to own the offseason, to chart their own path, much like they did last year. Most cap space, of course. They had the first overall pick. They traded it with Carolina to amass a ton of draft capital. A similar situation now in year number 2 under Ryan Poles. the general manager of this Bears franchise. We'll talk about that, some teams that have to answer quarterback questions, and as it ties into contract news for Geno Smith, up next here on Football Full Circle. Make sure you come back and join us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. Early off-season news and notes around the National Football League. Scott, we got an update yesterday out of the Seattle Seahawks, and it ties into our conversation about how many teams will need to answer their quarterback questions this offseason. The Seahawks are going to pick up the fully guaranteed salary for Geno Smith entering next year at $12.7 million. Of course, they just extended him this past offseason for a three-year deal worth around $70+ million. There was some questions maybe with a new regime, Pete Carroll out after a decade and a half, and the new head coach Mike McDonald stepping in with new offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb, what they would do to Geno Smith's future. Well, at least for 2024, his contract has been guaranteed, $12.7 million. Geno Smith is set to remain in the Pacific Northwest. Does that mean to you, Scott, that Geno Smith will start for the Seattle Seahawks week number one?
Not necessarily. He and also, by the way, Ben, he's got a $9 million roster bonus due next month. So they basically made the decision, we're not going to let this guy go for free. We're not going to cut him. We're either going to keep him and have him our starting quarterback next year, or we're going to utilize him in a trade. But in order to do that, we need to pick up this money. So that's basically what they did yesterday. And then March 18th, they have another $9.6 million roster bonus that they would have to pay him. I would think if they were going to move him, they would do it before then. But either way, $22 million, $20-plus million for a halfway decent quarterback is really a great bargain, as crazy as that may sound. Is he great? No. Did he lead him to the playoffs 2 years ago out of the blue? Yeah. Little regression last year, but maybe with a new regime in there, new head coach, maybe they can get a little bit more out of him. I mean, I don't think he's bad. And in that division, you got the Rams and you got the Niners. They've shown that they can kind of compete on that level. And Kyler Murray with Arizona as well. I mean, he's not awful, but you're going to live in purgatory, right? You will have some success with him. I do think he's a pretty good quarterback. Nowadays, though, in the NFL, you got to be a great quarterback. But how do you get rid of the pretty good quarterback without having a great quarterback in the wings? So I think ultimately, as I sit here and say all this stuff, I think he will be the quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks next year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Seattle drafts 16th overall, midway through that opening round of the 32 picks that we will see in the first round of the 2024 NFL draft in Detroit. So it's not a prime position necessarily to get their quarterback of the future. But there's been an interesting development, of course, is Ryan Grubb, who is going to follow Kalen DeBoer to be the offensive coordinator in Tuscaloosa at Alabama, returns to the Pacific Northwest, where he was the OC at Washington the last 2 years. Well, now he's just the OC in Seattle at the next level in the NFL for the Seahawks. There are markets, Scott, that obviously deal with everything, and we will have plenty more as we get closer and closer to the end of April and the NFL draft following the combine at the end of this month, so on and so forth. But there is an intriguing market to me. Team to draft Michael Penix Jr. And who is the favorite? It would be Seattle at a 4-1 price. No, by no means is it close to even money. It's not even less than $2. Certainly not minus money and odds on favorite for the Seahawks to draft him. It's plus 400 for Seattle, plus 450 for Minnesota, plus 450 for Atlanta, plus 550 for the Las Vegas Raiders. Pretty long prices relatively in this market for a bunch of teams that are close together. All of those teams, by the way, with Seattle being at the end of it, draft in the top 16, top half of this opening round. But there are the natural ties then, we would believe, to Seattle with offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb and Michael Penix Jr. if the Seahawks do decide to make a change at the quarterback position. If it's not in the first round, might they take somebody day number two, day number three? They believe they can develop or learn from Geno Smith, where Smith remains the starter for 2024 or maybe at least into the 2024 season for the young younger guy to take over soon? Maybe. But if it's not a first-round selection, how much investment in that plan moving forward will there be? I just found it intriguing that Michael Penix Jr. right now, at least according to the odds makers, is favored to go to the Seattle Seahawks as that team to select him.
Yeah, we saw that with Pittsburgh, right, a couple years ago. Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, maybe reaching up a little bit to go get Kenny Pickett just because of all the ties and all the people talking about Dan Marino and Steelers way back when never drafted Marino. And I think that put a little pressure on Pittsburgh. I don't know if you get the same thing here. I love him. I really do, Ben. He's a great quarterback. I love Washington. I had them winning the championship, so unfortunately we came up a little short on that. But
yeah,
the guy just can't stay healthy, Ben. And if he can't stay healthy in college, how do you expect them to stay healthy in the NFL? To me, that would be a reach. You know, he's the one quarterback, I think, just starting, you know, some of this draft stuff that seems to be, you get a lot of mock drafts where he's in the first round, you get a lot of mock drafts where he's in, like, the third round or at least the second round. There's a lot of wavering on him. He's small, injury-prone. I wouldn't take him in the first round, despite all the ties. And if he ends up going somewhere else and he's a great quarterback, then you know, what am I going to do? I'm not going to draft a guy just because he's from not from our state, but played at Washington. Not going to do that.
Right. Yeah, again, and it's also, I think, the idea of, like, the tie to Ryan Grubb, knowing his offensive scheme. But Michael Penix Jr. is not a young buck by any means. He spent 6 years in college. Again, that's all part of the quarterback value conversation as well. When you have some of these guys that stick around based on NIL in college football that get 23, 24, 25 years old by the time they leave, then you're losing some of that value if you do spend a highly valuable first-round draft pick on Michael Penix Jr. or a Bo Nix, for instance, as we will discuss in just a little bit. Now, I love Michael Penix Jr. Back in his days in Indiana, when I was working for a different company and hosting a Big Ten podcast, I coined the Michael Penix Jr. for Heisman Fan Club, of which I was the CEO and founder. I've been a Michael Penix Jr. stan for a very, very long time. I say all of that, Scott, to provide the context that I'm not sure he's worth a first-round pick necessarily. Not that he can't be successful, not that he can't start for a few seasons in the National Football League, but a first-round pick, it would almost seem to me, Scott, you're drafting a quarterback because you know how valuable a quarterback is in the first round, not because you are enamored with the guy like a Caleb Williams, who is the first overall pick, or a Drake May or a Jaden Daniels. I think those three are the clear cream of the crop in this quarterback draft class. And then there's a little bit of a drop off to the Michael Penix Juniors of the world, the J.J. McCarthy's, the Bo Nixes as well. I think we could see six go in the opening round since the draft expanded to 7 rounds in its modern format. We have not ever seen six quarterbacks go in the opening round, 5 at its most, so this could be a historic 2024 NFL draft. I say all that because I believe Michael Penix Jr. will have a successful NFL career. I'm not sure he's worth a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, but you know what? You have to draft high for quarterbacks. You have to reach. Yeah. You have to take them a round or two earlier because someone else will. You know, even though you say to yourself, you know what? He's not a first-round pick. You know, he's worth a second, maybe a third for sure, fourth on a little flyer, okay. But then you'll get some goofy team that'll just say, you know what? I got one shot at glory. I got a quarterback, whether it's Aiden O'Connell or whether it's Kenny Pickett or, Sam Howell. I got a quarterback I know is not any good. That's not going to get me to where I need to go, so I might as well take the fly and use a first-round pick on a guy that really should be drafted in the third round. So if you want him, I wouldn't wait. You know, let's put it that way.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Scott, right? That's why you have quarterbacks that are drafted ahead of where they are. Last year, we thought we were going to see 4, maybe even 5 in the opening round. The quarterback prop for the total QBs taken in the first round was 4.5, and at times the over had the juice when Will Levis seemed as though he might be a top 5 pick, when Hendon Hooker was going to be late in that first round as well. Of course, Levis did not go to round number 2, the second pick overall of that second round, making his way to Nashville for the Titans, and Hendon Hooker in the third round to the Detroit Lions. There seems to be some steam on the quarterback position, as we well know. We'll see what it looks like this time around. Scott, that ties into the quarterback conversation, of course, but as we discuss, the Chicago Bears, first overall draft pick, ninth overall draft selection. They can really take command of this offseason. They already entered having more than $100 million of cap room, by far the most cap space of any of the 32 teams around the NFL. We got updates earlier this week that cap space is going to extend as we go later into this offseason. The Bears parting ways and releasing veterans safety Eddie Jackson and offensive lineman Cody Whitehair, who both were standout players for Chicago during their time with the Bears organization, but both combined have $32 million in terms of their cap space hit. So now you open up $32 million on top of the 100 plus that you already have. I think that's a big move for Chicago. Ryan Pohl is very cognizant that he needs to make some really big moves this offseason to add to a roster to start to win once again in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they really could turn things around completely, right? And you got to sell high, right? You buy low, you sell high, and I think this is as high as Justin Fields, in my mind, is going to get. I think one more year of Fields and of him failing, and I don't think he's going to be worth half, maybe not even a third of what I think they can get for him right now. So I would trade him. I draft Caleb Williams, or I really love Jalen Daniels, but you draft, you know, one of the big three quarterbacks. You start all over again. You still have the ninth overall pick. You go get another wide receiver. You trade Fields. You're going to get a number one for him. There's no doubt in my mind there's going to be at least one GM that loved Fields and one head coach that's saying, you know what, they're screwing up with him. I can fix him. I can make him a winner. So you're going to get a number one if you're doing your job right, at least. Now you got another number one to go get yourself another weapon on offense, and you could just turn the fortunes of this franchise around completely, just completely, if they don't screw up.
That's a big if. One of my best friends in this world, Scott, is a lifelong Chicago Bears fan. He almost feels as though having the first overall pick is a blessing yet a curse at the same time, because Caleb Williams should be that guy, as Justin Fields should have been that guy, as Mitch Trubisky should have been that guy, and they've really failed to develop a face of the franchise quarterback. Plenty more on the Bears offseason up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. Is it the offseason for the Chicago Bears to reinforce their organization and set up the best path moving forward you could ever hope for if you are a Bears backer? First overall pick at this moment, ninth overall pick in the opening round of the 2024 NFL Draft. They will have more than what seems to be $120, $130 million of cap space, so much more than even the second most around the National Football League. So they can make splashes and big free agency moves, big acquisitions, and of course with all the draft capital they possess. Scott, ultimately, we've had this conversation a few times, you and I, here on Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi and I even broke it down yesterday. I believe the Bears will part ways with Justin Fields, focus on the future, and utilize that number one overall draft pick to take Caleb Williams, the 2022 Heisman winner, out of USC. Let's start there quickly before we dive even deeper. Do you think the Bears do the same thing?
I do. I think they've had enough, and I think, like I said before, if you're going to trade him, you need to trade him now where he still has some value. You put him in there for another year, and his value will be gone, and there'll be no guarantee you'll have the number one overall pick. You'll be bad, but you could have, like, the fourth or fifth overall pick. So you got to strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah, I think so as well. And as we said, Scott, right before the break, there is a fear among Bears fans who have hoped for a face of the franchise as they've looked at their competitors in Green Bay, have the same two quarterbacks for more than three decades, that Chicago would be able to replicate that. It really hasn't happened. Could Justin Fields have been that guy? Could Mitch Trubisky, who they moved up to get second overall in 2017? Of course, those did not pan out the way that Chicago fans had hoped. Justin Fields has shown glimpses. But Scott, I've been a huge Justin Fields Fields defender. I've been a huge Justin Fields supporter. I've been a huge Justin Fields believer ever since the draft cycle back in 2021, when a lot of these questions were tied to Justin Fields, and he fell all the way to 11th. He has given glimpses. He has given flashes. He has shown he could be a successful NFL quarterback, of which I believe he will be as a starting QB in the National Football League for years to come. With all that being said, I don't fault Chicago for moving on. He hasn't shown enough to put a stronghold on being the guy that has his fifth-year option picked up and to be the face of the franchise worth building around. Again, I think Justin Fields is going to be successful. I just think the situation is kind of soured in a negative way in Chicago, that it's maybe best for both parties, the Bears and Justin Fields, to kind of go their separate ways. So with that, I believe Caleb Williams is the answer.
I think he's on too. You know, him or Daniels. Like I said, I do like Daniels a little bit more, but mincing hairs here. But Fields, to me, he's got to go now, Ben. You know, they had some success, you know, second half of the season, last five, six, seven games, right? They showed some, you know, signs of being a halfway decent football team. But he also did show signs of still being Justin Fields and not getting over the hump. And when you see some of these quarterbacks come into the league and have instant success, you know, you just wonder, okay, the days of, okay, I need 3-4 years as a player to actually have success. Those days are long gone, you know. Love it. And Green Bay showed a heck of a lot more potential in the 1 year that he's basically played, right? We all know what's going on with the Houston Texans and C.J. Stroud. Even if you want to go back to Jay Cutler, or not Jay Cutler, but I'm looking at the Chicago Bear quarterbacks here. The L.A. Chargers quarterback. I'm skipping my mind.
Philip Rivers?
What's his feet? Yeah,
Philip. Justin Herbert?
No. Herbert, right?
Yeah.
Having a brain cramp here. Even you want to go back to Herbert when he got thrown in. You know, remember, you know, he was instantly like, okay, this is our guy. You know, how did we ever think that he was not going to be our guy? You know, what was he doing sitting on the bench here? So you're not getting that with Justin Fields. And I don't think you get that with quarterbacks in the NFL nowadays. I think if you're going to be good, you're basically going to be good. Even Brock Purdy, for goodness sakes, you know, when as soon as he got put into the lineup, had, you know, a modicum of success, a lot more than what you're getting out of Justin Fields. So I don't see it in Fields. I just don't. I've watched enough Bears games, and he's been in so many opportunities late in games to either have to rally his team for a win or tie, and he has failed basically every single time. And I'm talking like 7, 8, 9 times.
Yeah.
I just don't think he can scramble around with the best of them. Absolutely. If you want to make that your complete 100% offense, go knock yourself out. But I don't think you're ever going to win on a big time level like that.
Yeah, again, that's kind of my thought as well. Maybe a different situation, a better presented opportunity. Justin Fields excels in that system. I don't fault Chicago, though, for making this move and probably going to Caleb Williams, who, by the way, is minus 1,500 to be one of one, that number one overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft. As we always say, Scott, that doesn't mean Chicago has to draft Caleb Williams number one overall, just that he is the first name called on Thursday, April 25th, that opening round.
You think that's overwhelming? You think it's that overwhelming, Ben, that he'll be number one?
Oof. Now, I completely agree with the number. I think Caleb Williams is that guy, remains that guy, has been that guy. I understand things were a little bit shaky at the end of 2023 for USC and Caleb Williams, and there's been some weird reports about his character, about what he wants out of the NFL. I still believe Caleb Williams is the first overall draft pick, a peg above both Drake May and Jaden Daniels, who I think very highly of as well. That being said, Scott, minus 1,500 is a very strong price. I do think it will change and it will lessen throughout this draft cycle as it naturally does.
Yeah. I just think with the Bears not being like 100% committed, you know, well, let's just say the Bears, you know, at 15 to 1, boy, you got to be 100% sure, right? You got to be really crazy to bet anything at 15 to 1. I'm going to lay, you know, put that in perspective. I'm going to lay, you know, $150 to win 15 or $1,500 to win 100. It's not happening. So, knowing that the Bears, you know, maybe keep Fields and maybe tell the world, okay, you know what, the number one pick's up for grabs. Now you're opening up 31 other GMs to say, all say that they think Caleb Williams is the number one guy. Say there's a guy that thinks Jalen Daniels is the number one guy, or May, or maybe there's a guy that wants to get the wide receiver. Who knows? Marvin Harrison Jr. there's no way in the world that I would ever lay 15 to 1. No. He probably will be, but we have a long ways to go. A lot of reports and the combines and all the goofy, dopey stories that we always get, and the fluctuations. And one guy says, oh, yeah, I heard this GM say he loves Jalen Daniels. And all of a sudden, the odds change just like that on a whim. He probably will, but there's no way in the world I would ever bet that.
Compare it to last year. Bryce Young was around a minus 250, minus 300 odds on favorite after the Super Bowl, after the 2022 NFL season came to a close to be that first overall pick. And he remained pretty much there, except for about a 10-day span after a video came out of Josh McCown, who was the quarterback's coach in Carolina last offseason and, of course, early on this season in 2023 at the Ohio State Pro Day in Columbus, telling C.J. Stroud, when you get to Charlotte, we're going to have to get some runs in because C.J. Stroud is a big basketball player as well. C.J. Stroud flipped to the odds-on favorite. And then even leading up to the draft, although Bryce Young remained the favorite, Will Levis started to creep up the board after that report from Twitter user 69420 said something about how, you know, all of that stuff. And that thing, those things can influence the betting markets because there is no certain handicapping in the world of smokescreens, rumors, and reports. So that is going to change. Minus 1,500 might be its peak. It might be its peak and look something like that as we get to draft night. I remember Bryce Young closes a minus 6,000 favorite or whatever it was to be that first overall pick within 30 minutes of the draft getting underway last April. C.J. Stroud closes a minus 2,000 favorite to be the second overall pick, even when we thought he might go out of the first round somehow, some way, with all the steam around Will Levis. That is betting in the NFL draft, but I often tend to agree, Scott, with where the odds makers originally set the numbers, or at least with their idea behind setting the numbers there. Is Caleb Williams a lock to go first overall? No. Do I think he does go first overall with a 90% hit rate? Probably something of the sort. It's not Victor Wembanyama being the first overall pick. It's not Connor Bedard being the first overall pick. Both guys were like minus 20,000 to be that first overall selection of their respective organizations in their respective leagues. But I do believe Caleb Williams, you can't say anything is a lock, you know, whatever it might be, without a shadow of a doubt. But I do believe Caleb Williams more than likely is going to be that first overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft.
Yeah, I still like Daniels a little better. Wouldn't cry with Caleb, but I just watching LSU and seeing how USC kind of fell apart down the stretch, that does put up a little bit of a red flag. Whereas LSU, they were keeping him in those football games when they were leading by literally 40, 50 points. It really was a disgrace. I was hoping that he wouldn't win the Heisman because that wasn't right what they did with him, and able to accumulate all these numbers. But that said, the guy's got a gun for an arm. He can scramble, played at a big time obviously level in the SEC, had a couple different coaches, had success everywhere he was, whether it was at Arizona State or there. I just like him a little bit more, that's all.
Yeah, and I don't fault it. And Scott, I actually think Jaden Daniels is going to be that quarterback in this draft that gets all the love, that will be the guy throughout his combine workouts or throughout the pro day down in Baton Rouge for LSU, is that athletic freak that is really, really talented and very good at playing the quarterback position that will have some steam and buzz behind him. Is it enough to unseat Caleb Williams at the first overall pick? I don't think so, but I do believe Jaden Daniels is going to go in the top three, if not at number two. Here's where the odds stack up right now. Caleb Williams, minus 1,500 favorite to go first overall. Drake May out of North Carolina, a minus 150 odds-on favorite to go second overall. Jaden Daniels is the favorite to go third overall at plus 160, only a 30-cent gap between him and Drake May there. May at plus 190. In some form or fashion, Scott, although I agree with the order the odds makers have it right now, I do believe it goes Williams, May, Daniels, but I think those three quarterbacks are going to be the first three names off the board.
I still think Daniels would be ahead of maybe not Caleb Williams, but I would definitely put him ahead of Drake May. I just North Carolina to me was just an enigma. Sometimes look great, other times look horrible. I put the blame on the quarterback. So I know people seem to love him. I can't get Mitch Trubisky out of my head. I just can't. I can't get Sam Howell out of my head. I know one has nothing to do with the other. I've been saying that with Ohio State quarterbacks for the longest time, and C.J. Stroud proved that right. But I just can't. I'll take Daniels and Williams ahead of May any day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, I feel differently, but, you know, hey, that's why we do what we do here in these draft debates moving forward. And we've got a lot of time to do it over 2 months. When you look at Chicago, Scott, and just knowing all the cap space and all that they have at their disposal this offseason, one thing I do find interesting, though, about the decisions the Bears have made, they kept Matt Eberflus because of the promise the Bears showed down the home stretch of this NFL season. A team that started off 1-5, ended 7-10, and they won 5 of their final 8 games. A lot of that built on the defensive side of the football, which is Matt Eberflus's wheelhouse. But what I find interesting is if you're going to draft a new quarterback in Caleb Williams at first overall, and you're not sold on Matt Eberflus, what does the record have to be in Williams' first year, or Jaden Daniels' first year with Chicago? What does the record have to be next year for the Bears that would lead to Matt Eberflus getting a fourth year in Chicago?
That's a good question. You know, that's the one thing about giving a head coach a new quarterback. You know, you can't expect them to be, you know, a playoff team, right? They were 7-10 last year, so I would think it would really be more the quarterback play than the record. But if you want to put a record on it, I would say you got to match 7-10 that you had this past season.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing for me, because if you're keeping Matt Eberflus, are you willing to go all the way back or at least stale out and where you were to figure things out moving forward? We'll finish up this discussion next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle for just a few more moments. Scott, discussing the Chicago Bears, their offseason here in 2024, what it means for next season. Let's assume they use that first pick to take Caleb Williams. They have Matt Eberflus coming back for his third year as their head coach. They have more cap space, over $130 million, than any other team in the NFL. We have to expect this roster looks sound. There will be improvements, all focused, of course, on a rookie quarterback. For a team that went 7-10, below their win total of 7.5 a season ago, what exactly does success then look like for the Bears in 2024 if you're keeping your head coach but also investing in the future at the same time? That's where I find it tricky, Scott. You said at least 7-10. I think that's a fair floor, but I do think it is the floor. But that's a lot to put on a rookie quarterback's shoulders, to have a winning record, to be in the playoff race in the NFC. But I think that's what they would need to see in Chicago to have Eberflus come back for a fourth season after his third in 2024.
I would think so, right? And I'll tell you, if you go by the boys in Vegas, Ben, you know, the Bears are 50-1, which seems like a lot, and it is. But
yeah.
I will tell you, that's better odds than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 75-1. Bucks made the playoffs. Pittsburgh Steelers, 90-1.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, you have some decent teams. Saints at 75-1. Halfway decent clubs. Seattle. You know, so the boys in Vegas are, you know, kind of expecting a little something out of them. Yeah. I don't think they can go into this year saying, okay, we're going to draft the number one quarterback and we're going to go 3-14 and everyone's going to come back next year because that was only step one. I don't think that's the case at all. They're going to spend
completely
a lot of
agree.
Money, right? And a lot yep. of money, a lot of draft choices. They got to, you know, come close to being 500, I would think.
Completely agree. Right now, Scott, the conference championship odds have just come out on the FanDuel Sportsbook. In the NFC, the Bears have a 22-1 number, just $2 behind the Vikings and the Falcons, who are tied for the 7th best price. So the Bears slotted into 9th right now. Of course, 7 teams make the postseason in each conference. He's Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. We'll talk to you next week on a Monday on Football Full Circle. Have a great weekend.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio.
Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.